This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We really appreciate you as usual. We're going to be talking about jobs, and as one of our many topics that we talk about on a regular basis, but we're going to talk about clearance jobs. One of our regular guests is on the line, Evan Lester. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a dice company. He monitors this situation every day, all day, and he's knowing what's going on. A number of different issues are out there: the fiscal cliff, sequestration, the Warren Act, government pay freezes, impact on government contractors, impact on clearance jobs. We're going to talk about all these things today with Evan. Evan, thanks for being on the show.
Always a pleasure, Derek. Thanks.
Hey, let's kick it off. And you know, we were just kind of saying right before the show, this has been a very long, taxing year with the elections and with sequestration and fiscal cliff. And, you know, I think all of us are looking for 2013. But as we're closing this year out and with the fiscal cliff and sequestration, you know, before we talk about maybe anything good, what's still going on with this stuff? And then how is it impacting what you're seeing in terms of clearance jobs or federal jobs and everything else?
Well, you know, as you know, we are halfway through December. The end is coming quickly of the month and of the year, and obviously Congress and the White House have not worked out any type of a budget deal to avert the fiscal cliff. And, you know, there's been conversation that maybe going over the fiscal cliff would be useful to some degree. Obviously for federal contractors and employees, both of the government and of those contracting companies, it's a scary time. Just recently, the White House Budget Office directed the Pentagon to start kind of their initial plans for, you know, some of these automatic cuts that may be coming down on January 2nd. So, you know, it's seeming more and more real as time moves on. But I think everyone is holding out and hoping for a Christmas miracle.
You know, I mean, as you look at it and as you're talking to a number of different contractors, some people say it's a fiscal cliff. Some people say if it's a fiscal curve. Some say it's not going to have a big impact. What do you based on your opinion, what are you seeing, Evan?
Well, you know, historically, if you look back towards, the Reagan years, there were some budget cuts. Automatic budget cuts that happened, and there was similar worry at that point. And, you know, even though cuts started to happen, it didn't take too long before the defense cuts that did happen were refunded. It's a pretty common fact that, you know, we need a strong defense. Sure, there's plenty of waste and overspending, but that kind of thing is something that takes time to get into and to fix, but you know, it's just there's far too much up in the air at this point, and workers in the industry come to us and they're asking us what they need to do, how they need to prepare. But you know, my own personal thought is that regardless of whether we get through some type of a Christmas miracle and get the budgets hammered out and the sequester doesn't happen, I think there's still belt tightening that has been going on and will continue to go on at least for the next 6 months to a year.
You know, what are you seeing? Because, I mean, you're in that market where you see either an uptick on hiring or a downtick on hiring or anything like that. Are you seeing a number of contracts kind of dry up because, you know, no budgets have been, you know, we haven't had a defense budget passed. We've got all these things that are laying out here and the fiscal cliff thing is out there. Have you seen contracts kind of, you know, either dry up or get pulled back? And have you seen a decrease in the number of, contracts, whether it be big or small, you know, putting out job announcements? I mean, what are you hearing?
Well, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I think if you look at the news recently, Lockheed has estimated about 10,000 employees could be affected if the January sequester happens. General Dynamics Land Systems recently let 98 workers go. They're working on the Stryker combat vehicle. SAIC recently reduced its workforce by about 700 people, and specifically they said, quote, to remain competitive in a challenging market. So, some layoffs are already starting to happen. Just this week, there have been talks about government employees being laid off or furloughed, and that is, something that is fairly new in terms of discussion. But, at the same time, we've got just as many jobs posted on the clearance job site, just as many, if not more, employers coming to us looking for candidates than we did, the past few years. So there's still hiring going on. Companies are still trying to build up talent benches. And the one thing to keep in mind is that, the budget cuts that we keep hearing about are Department of Defense. The intelligence agencies are well-funded and will continue to be funded. There's really obviously been no talks about, hey, let's cut the budget of the NSA or the CIA or FBI. So a fair amount of security clearance jobs still fall into those categories. So really what we've been talking about is Department of Defense.
With the election, Evan, I know we had talked about, things before the election. Do you see any kind of now that this is over and we do know who the president is and kind of any kind of direction, do we see any kind of change in where maybe the president is going to go with the government that's having an impact on the clearance job market or on the defense market or any kind of federal hiring market?
Well, if you look back towards the September timeframe, the Office of Management and Budget issued some guidance that said federal contractors did not have to issue the WARN Act to their employees, that essentially the government would back them up if they did not issue the WARN Act to their employees. So those would have had to have been issued, if we're assuming a January 2 sequester, those would have had to have been issued around the beginning of November. But really none of that has happened. So I think the current administration has said, there will not be a sequester. They're going to do everything they can to avoid fiscal cliff and sequestration. We're a little bit more on a little bit more solid footing, I think, than pre-election. Mm-hmm. Now that we know who the president is, we know what his track record is with regards to defense and budget. We know that the issues with the WARN Act have, for the most part, kind of passed. And now, obviously, we're down to Congress and the White House trying to hammer out some type of a budget deal to avoid that January sequester. So, as time has moved on, I think there's been a little bit more sure footing, but still contractors and those in the federal government are still pretty hesitant. There's easily a continued atmosphere of hesitancy and worry.
We're talking about possible changeover, maybe Panetta leaving and other things like that. You've been in this game long enough to see changes in administration or even when administration comes back the second time around, possible changes in department heads. Does that have any kind of impact on any kind of the business in terms of the vision or where things are going or programs? Sometimes people worry about programs being canceled and anything like that. Is there any kind of concern about that in this possible upcoming changeover in 2013?
I guess it does depend if Mr. Panetta stays with the DOD or someone else is brought in. Over the past couple decades, there have been some folks at the top of the DOD that have been a little bit more conservative with regards to finances, letting programs that have run over budget or over cost or maybe not delivering like they hoped, let those expire and move on to something different. It really depends on who's up there, but I do think that the type of changes that we'd be looking at, assuming Mr. Panetta stays in office, is probably going to be a little bit longer term. Everyone knows that we need to tighten our belt a bit, but you know, there are different schools of thought as to how that's done. There could be plenty of cost savings by increased automation. You know, there are lots of different things that, could potentially go on. Unfortunately, just like a lot of the issues that are going on now, it's a wait and see kind of thing.
Right. Well, you know, and also even has the scale back of Afghanistan, has that been kind of factored in? Are you still seeing a number of jobs still being posted for people to go over to Afghanistan with clearances and things like that? I mean, is that still something that's on the books?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's still plenty of open positions overseas, Middle East and beyond. But, you know, recent news has reported that the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan may go quicker, depending on what happens with budgets. And without a doubt, you know, over the past year, we've seen what's happened with the troops being essentially out of Iraq. There are a few open contract positions. There's still some things that are going on there. But, you know, we saw the job opportunities for Iraq, you know, dry up considerably. So if there's a factor
They kind of dried up immediately after the drawdown.
That's correct. So, you know, to make a comparison, if the drawdown in Afghanistan comes quicker as a result of some of the budget woes, I'm assuming we're likely going to see positions come down faster as well.
Now, you know, and looking at that, when you do have a drawdown like that, and maybe defense draws down, do you see an uptick in maybe agencies like USAID or other agencies like that, or do you just see a drawdown in everything?
You know, some of the agencies like USAID are slightly out of our scope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our finger is on the pulse, so to speak, of defense, intelligence, and homeland security. So I don't really have a great answer for you on that.
No problem, Evan. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to keep on talking about kind of the Warren Act, government pay freezes, and then still continue to talk about the impact on the contracting firms. And then also, what should you be doing right now? If you're looking for either a federal job or a contractor job, you know, what should you be doing? What's hot? What's going to be going on in 2013 in terms of hiring? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of clearancejobs.com, and he has his finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in this clearance job market right now. So we'll be talking more when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about clearance jobs and talking about what's going on with the fiscal cliff, sequestration, the Warren Act. We're going to be talking about what's going on with government pay freezes. How is that impacting things? Everything that's going on in the clearance job market, we're talking about today. And if you're looking for a job, you know, trying to get into a government contractor, trying to get into a federal market, what should you be doing right now? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. They're a dice company. You can find them at clearancejobs.com. Evan, you know, as we look at certain things and we begin looking at getting past this moment, you know, which we will, you know, we will get past the fiscal cliff. We will get past sequestration. We will get some budgets passed. What do you think will happen then? Will we see kind of a hallelujah moment, and then all of a sudden jobs will just start rushing in? What's next?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good question, and you kind of have to keep some of the numbers in mind. If the January sequester does happen, the initial number that would come into play would be $500 billion from the DoD budget over the next decade. So obviously, a decade is a long time. A lot of things can change. $500 billion is a lot, but that really is only what they projected to be a little over $52 billion for this next fiscal year. So, you know, $52 billion sounds like a lot, but for the overall DoD budget, I would say it's a good-sized drop, but it's still a drop in the bucket.
Mm.
More than anything, I think that there's kind of an overall atmosphere of apprehension and fear in this marketplace, and, you know, a lot of people are looking for something to happen one way or the other, whether the sequester happens and we deal with it, or whether a budget deal is worked out. people just want some resolution to come to play. And I think that that's what a lot of government contractors and contracting companies are having to deal with at this point, is trying to lay back and try to figure out what's going to happen. And that apprehension and uncertainty is really what's driving a lot of activity in the marketplace.
Are the contracts that are out there right now, and I'm asking this, Evan, in terms of people planning things out, are there contracts out there that people know that they're either going after, they know where to go, they just don't know, or things have not been awarded yet, so maybe companies are just kind of putting out, either they're responding to RFPs, or they're putting out maybe to you a job announcement to say, listen, we've got bids in, but we're just trying to collect resumes. Is that what's going on right now?
You know, I think the primary thing that we've heard from government contracting companies and their HR departments is the words on hold. You know, we've heard contracts and awarding of contracts are on hold. Budgets are tied up and on hold. I haven't really heard a lot about certain programs being canceled outright, but really the key words are on hold. It just seems like everything is in limbo at this point. And you know, as I've mentioned, that really doesn't do a whole lot to help the apprehension in the marketplace.
Well, for a person who is cleared right now, and for maybe even a person who's working at a contract firm, I mean, is there any sense of security that, you know, some of these places will definitely, I mean, you've mentioned some of the big boys who are laying off some people. Are some of the smaller ones even taking, you know, bigger cuts and laying off people? Because we probably don't hear about them as much. I mean, you know, they just may let a few people go, but it never makes headlines. What are you hearing on that?
Well, I think that's true, but always remember that any prime contractor, you know, Lockheed, Raytheon, General Dynamics, SAIC, large companies that receive contracts, there's almost always something in it for subcontractors as well. And while we may not hear directly about a small company laying off workers or not receiving funding for some contract, you know, we can understand that it's definitely going on out there. What we've heard from smaller companies is the same thing we've heard from the large ones. Subcontracts are on hold. Subcontract funding is on hold. Now, some employers understand that just because something is on hold doesn't mean that there's not work to do. A lot of employers are coming to us specifically to try to build up their talent pool or talent bench of workers, because they know that when there is some resolution to what's going on with government budgets, there's going to be movement in the marketplace, whether people are leaving jobs or hiring or switching jobs or retiring. There's going to be a lot of movement, and that always means volatility in terms of human resources. So companies large and small are coming to us, and they kind of know what they have to do. They have to get their priorities straight and make sure that they have a bench of candidates that are ready to go regardless of what happens with government budgets.
Is that concern right? I mean, you're kind of mentioning something really interesting. Is that concern right there that, okay, when something happens and everything does get passed, things are going to move very, very quickly, and we need to have that talent pool ready? I mean, is there a competition for that good talent right there? I mean, are people kind of giving conditional offers, knowing maybe in the next 3 months some things will happen, or are they just kind of doing some pre-interviewing, or are they doing pre-screening of resumes? What's the process, especially for a job seeker hearing that a lot of people are getting frustrated because they feel like they're on hold and hold and hold? You know, what are you seeing in the background?
Yeah, there's definitely been, I would say, an increase in contingent contract notices that we've seen on our site as well as others, and essentially that would be some type of job announcement, and in the job announcement the employer will say this is a job that is contingent upon contract award. So this is something that we're bidding on. We're trying to get our talent pool together. We're trying to get our human resources in order, but it's really dependent on contract award and the date of that pending contract award. So there is plenty of that going on. I think that's a common thing, but we've definitely seen an increase in that over the last 8 or so months.
For the job seeker, you know, who is putting these resumes out, you know, what do you say to them? I mean, do you say, hey, just hang in there? I mean, kind of, you know, the people are considering, people are looking at you, you know, it's more of that kind of whole pattern, but they are taking a look at you and they are making preparations, or they will be contacting you soon. I mean, where do you go with that?
Well, you know, just like employers at this point are trying to hunker down and build up their own talent pools, candidates who could potentially be job hunting in the next 6 months really should be doing a similar type of action. They should be networking with other coworkers that have security clearance to understand where some of the opportunities are, and more importantly, networking with employers and HR staff and recruiters and staffing agencies who are in this defense industry. And, you know, similar to employers, they should be building up their own databases of recruiting contacts and of HR contacts. So depending on what happens over the next, you know, 20, 30 days or so, if there needs to be a movement, they'll have a pool of people that they can talk to very quickly and say either I'm available or going to be available, whatever the case may be. There is a lot of competition for certain types of candidates. Obviously, the higher the clearance, the less the overall pool of those candidates is, so the demand is higher.
And Evan, hold that right there, because I want to go into what is the candidate who's being looked for right now. Let's go into that over the next segment right there. We need to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. They are a job site that for if you have a security clearance, whether it be anything from a confidential on up, right, Evan?
That's right.
If you have anything from a confidential all the way to the highest level security clearance, the top secret, SCI, a full scope, a lifestyle poly, or anything like that, get on that site. And there are federal agencies that are looking for people, and there are also federal contractors who are looking for people with these clearances, and there are a number of different jobs out there. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking about the clearance job market. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been having an interesting conversation about the clearance job market. We know that there's a fiscal cliff out there. We know that there's sequestration. We know that budgets have not been passed. What's the impact on the market? But there may be some good news coming into 2013, and we're talking about that as well. We have on the line with us Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a job site that if you have a clearance and you're looking for a job, then you should be taking a look at it. They've got a number of different resources on there, not just jobs being mentioned, but also other resources to help you network and meet recruiters and get advice and everything else that you need to do your job search. Evan, we were kind of going into it in the last segment, you know, but for the talent pool that's out there, who are the sought after talent? I mean, what are the clearances that they have, and what are the skill sets that they have that people are saying, these are the people who we want?
Well, you know, companies always go where there's opportunity and shy away from places where it may be drying up. And I think per our earlier discussion, if the January sequester happens, we're looking at $52 billion or so coming out of a DOD budget over the next fiscal year. Again, not a small amount, but generally a drop in the bucket compared to the overall full DOD budget. But where companies are heading to more recently are the intelligence agencies. I think their budgets are a little bit more secure, a little bit less vulnerable in terms of cuts. You really won't hear anybody talking about trimming the budgets of the NSA or FBI or CIA.
Evan, why is that? I mean, is this administration very much more focused in on intelligence gathering? Have we seen kind of a turn towards the intelligence community, a little bit more reliance on them?
Without a doubt, and I think that that's really just the scope of the nature of warfare and how things are changing. Obviously, we still need fighter jets and aircraft carriers and other large equipment, but we're seeing 24/7, 365 attacks on government networks and on companies' networks. Cybersecurity, as we've talked about in the past, is a huge element, and the NSA and the U.S. Cyber Command has really been put at the forefront of trying to combat that threat. So companies are following suit. And, you know, if you're asking where are the pools of talent that are most sought after, cybersecurity talent obviously is right there at the top. Finding candidates that know how to not just protect networks, but also people who can create a policy for government and contractor networks, security policy that is, deal with incident response. And one of the positions that we've seen more and more come in is actually cyber attack, so the opposite of the defense side. So there's there's really a lot of movement with regards to intelligence agencies. Homeland Security would likely lose jobs in the event of a January sequester. Same with Border Patrol, TSA, but not nearly as bad as the Defense Department would.
You know, I've been monitoring this cyber thing, and I'm seeing even a new creation of some cyber jobs coming out here. I saw, I think the FBI or something like that was hiring a cyber intel analyst. I mean, where, you know, it's not just the people who are doing the hacking. It's not just doing the people who are preventing, but it's almost seemed like they're, needing somebody to trace this thing back to find out where the root is and find out who these people are. Is this market really going to explode more and more and more, Evan?
It is, and I think that the industry knows it. If you look at most of the major acquisitions that prime defense contractors have made of smaller companies over the past year and a half, more and more of them fall into the expertise of the cyber domain. So obviously that is where a lot of attention is being paid. As far as marketplace goes, it's the most nascent and young. There's still plenty of work to be done. I think that the White House policy and the DoD policy on cybersecurity is still in development. So it's young and it's fresh. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot that's new. And for that reason, there's a lot of budget money that is out there.
Are you seeing... if somebody maybe got into cyber right now, you know, whether it be young or old or things like that, and given the movement and given the shift that we're heading to cyber, kind of maybe even looking towards down the line, is it just certifications? Is it degrees in computer science? I mean, is it what are the things that are being sought after in terms of education and training and things like that? If somebody start thinking about, you know, I don't have it now, but I want to get it.
Well, you know, It's an industry that is fairly available to people. Cybersecurity, whether you're on the defense or offense side, is something that can be learned. Granted, it's not learned overnight, but it's a very different a type of thing than, let's say, engineer, a systems engineer or aerospace engineer. That is a lifetime pursuit with regards to education. If someone was trying to get into the cybersecurity domain, in 6 months you can get trained, get certified, and have a lot of hands-on action and be fairly ready for the marketplace. Sure, you'll be in at a younger level, but there is without a doubt a loss of talent and a need for skilled cybersecurity folks, whether they be young, old, experienced, or new. As I've kind of mentioned in the past, this is an area that is changing so rapidly that someone who had a certain certification 4 or 5 years ago may find themselves looking at having to be recertified because so much has changed. And, I think with that in mind, there are definitely opportunities not just with federal contracting companies, but also with federal agencies.
Do you think that in the dynamics, so, I mean, we're looking at maybe 10, especially especially as computers evolve, we're looking at, and then really maybe an infinite time period of cyber. And this is going to be a market that you really cannot just get your computer degree or cannot just get a certification and just stay still. It's going to be constantly changing. That's what I'm hearing from you.
There is. And that's why, as a side note, there's a huge industry for government cybersecurity certification and training. Major colleges and universities have gotten in on the action, and have degree programs and certification programs that revolve around government standards on cybersecurity. So, everybody is paying attention. This is very different with regards to it's so new. There's so much that's changing.
We can't even really predict where it's going to go. I mean, it's the evolution of computer systems almost, and that's going to really determine where this thing goes, isn't it?
Totally. And you know, there are certain rules that govern how fast technology progresses, but it does not take a state power, multi-billion-dollar investment to attack another country. It's a very inexpensive and easy type of thing that can happen, which is why our own government and other major powers are under attack continually, cyber attack continually. So it's the kind of thing that obviously is evolving quickly, and for that reason we need our own workforce of trained cybersecurity professionals that can help defend as well as attack.
Evan, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what other, we know cyber's out there. I want to talk about if there's any other markets that people should be paying attention to or will be hiring going into 2013. We're talking about the clearance job market. We're talking to Evan Lester. He's the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. And when you go on their site, if you got a clearance, whether it be confidential all the way to the highest levels of clearance of top secret with full poly, SEI, et cetera, it's a good place for you to find jobs, whether it be in the contracting market, defense or homeland security or intelligence contractors or actual agencies who are looking for certain people with certain talents. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about what's going on with clearance jobs right now. What are we looking at going into 2013? What's hot right now? We're going to get past the sequestration. We're going to get past this fiscal cliff. It's not a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when. So when that does happen, what are we going to be looking for? What's going to be hot? We talked about the cyber jobs, and all of us know that is an evolving career field. That, if you get into it right now, you've got to stay on top of it, but it's definitely a career field where hiring will be taking place. But Evan, what else is out there that is going on? Let me even throw this question out. With robotics, we got the drones, and I know that DARPA and IARPA and other places like that have been looking at Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency have been looking at robotics. Are we seeing a rise in that kind of field as well?
Very much so. Some of the more sought after candidates, as well as some of the jobs that we see in increasing quantity on clearancejobs.com, is the things that deal with UAVs, aerial vehicles, underwater, also aerospace, satellites, everything that deals with intelligence gathering and intelligence analysis is definitely hot and has been for the past year, if not more. I think it's pretty much understood at this point that a drone that costs $10,000 or $15,000 that can sit and loiter in the air and gather intelligence without a pilot can do so inexpensively. And it's a great way to gather intel, and it's a cheap way to do so. So I think that the military and our intelligences have understood that, while boots on the ground is definitely a smart thing to have, most of the current budget dollars are being spent on some of this automation and UAV technology.
With that, as we look beyond that, I mean, we've got two very, very technical fields. What else is out there, Evan, that is going to maybe be places that will increase in hiring, or at least have a steady level of hiring going into 2013 when things get settled?
Engineers, without a doubt, software engineers, hardware, aerospace, those are all positions that, again, you can't really get into overnight. The talent pool is fairly set. Granted, we have younger folks who are graduating from college and moving into that industry, but it's been well documented that the United States is falling behind in terms of high engineering talent. with regards to the rest of the world. So that just means that our talent pool of these candidates is small and not growing to meet the demand. So we've seen, without a doubt, employers doing whatever they can to draw folks that have engineering talent, software development talent, et cetera, and bring those people on board, and more importantly, to try to keep them on board.
And Evan, are we talking about, you know, with engineering, are we talking about kind of your mechanical engineers, your electrical engineers, your, you know, chemical engineers, or are we talking about across the board?
Across the board, but without a doubt, systems engineers and software engineers
okay.
are the top two folks that are in most demand.
And with those, and I'm assuming with cyber, robotics, engineering, are they looking for, is it an entry-level market where somebody coming in, somebody come out of undergraduate can just get in? Or are we looking for a little bit more of a seasoned engineer that's being sought after?
It's both. You know, the federal contractors that come to us on a regular basis, they understand that this is a market that is only going to expand. Our government's reliance on inexpensive intelligence gathering opportunities is only going to expand. There's so much data that's coming in now, and our need to gather it and process it is only going to increase. So, you know, it's definitely a field where someone who's entry level can easily get their foot in the door and build a career out of it. Unfortunately, in today's marketplace, there's not a huge emphasis from industry on those types of positions for younger people. You know, you look at Silicon Valley and app development and website development, and it's a lot more glamorous than coming to work for the government. It's a lot more of a quick payoff than coming to work for one of the intelligence agencies or a federal contractor. So there's a bit of a identity crisis that's been going on with some of the younger folks, and you know, depending on what happens with government pay freezes, you know, we could see a fair amount of people that are eligible for retirement that are engineers like this, you know, finally saying, you know what, no more pay freezes, I'm just going to retire. And when that happens, it pushes more and more reliance on this younger generation.
You know, you just mentioned something about web development. Are we seeing, you know, that used to be the hot thing, but are we starting to see, especially as maybe companies and agencies are starting to, you know, a lot of them are starting to redesign their websites and make them a lot more, you know, user-friendly. The graphics are definitely social media. Are you starting to see some stuff going on with that as well?
Well, you know, all technology that the DoD and the intel agencies utilize usually has some manner of connection to the web. You know, whether it be on the battlefield or behind the lines, the internet has been a primary tool for communicating data back and forth, whether it be classified or unclassified. So, you know, web development these days is less about a corporate website or a federal agency website and more about securely transferring information across the internet in real time. So it's changed a little bit.
You know, as is anything in terms of maybe the financial side of, you know, accounting, auditing, anything like that, or other careers that go, you know, beyond the technical, are any of those still being looked at?
They are, just not in the high demand and
okay.
high quantities that have been in the past. You know, finance, budget, contracts, administrative positions always flow in when contracts start to get awarded. So with the current atmosphere that we have of a lot of things kind of being on hold, contract awards being put off until after this fiscal cliff debate is completed, we've definitely seen kind of a pullback on some of those positions. But depending on what happens with the January sequester, there could be a good influx of administrative contract budget type positions that would come in.
Do you think that in terms of, you know, with this, you know, and you've got a number of different people who may be looking at retiring from government and everything else, with the whole market, are we looking at the people retiring from government jumping back into the clearance job market, or in terms of your prediction, as we kind of close it up, do you think that there's going to be a retirement and they'll just kind of go and maybe look at other things, and that'll kind of leave both the federal market, you know, needing to hire more people, as well as the government contract market looking to hire more people? Or is it going to be that revolving door where they leave, they jump back into the contract market? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting come February or March. We have our annual salary compensation survey that comes out on security cleared workers and that part of the workforce. But I think that, you know, if you think over the past couple of years, there's been a federal pay freeze for the majority of civil servants, but there's been talk more recently of extending that pay freeze by another couple of years. And if that does happen, again, I think we're going to see more and more federal workers that are eligible to retire leaving the workforce, and a pretty good number of those folks potentially looking for careers with the contracting market. I think we'll know a little bit more in the February-March timeframe when our annual survey is complete, but without a doubt, we kind of expect to see contractor salaries either increase or stay flat, where we'll find federal employee salaries either flat or be dropping.
When that survey comes out, Evan, we definitely want to talk about it and get you back on as usual to hear about what are your findings. It'll be interesting to see how that will impact the federal job force, and you know, especially as the economy possibly changes. And if it does get better, there's always a dynamic of the federal workforce always scrambling to get the right kind of candidates. So is that what we think we may happen in the future?
I think so. You know, recent reports have noted that some of the officials in government are already planning for layoffs. They've been talking about delaying contracts. There was a report that came out, I believe it was this week, if not last week, a representative of the state of Washington, who's on the House Appropriations Committee, started looking at some of the federal agencies that would be potentially losing employees. And what they came out with was DHS losing over 24,000 jobs, the Border Patrol about 7,000, TSA a little over 7,000. So there's really been a lot of talk and discussion about the federal agencies getting prepared for a potential layoffs, and again, we've heard about furloughs as well. So there's going to be a lot of movement over the next few months, and people are already preparing for it.
It's going to be interesting, Evan. We'll check back with you as the new year starts out. Thank you so much for your insight, as usual. Everything, clearancejobs.com is the site. Evan Lesser, he is the founder and director. Evan, hey, have a happy, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all those other good things, and we'll check back with you in 2013.
Do the same, Derek. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.